This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
You're back with The Morning Run with Lin Mark, Kuzu Chuang and Wang Xiaoning. Now, earlier this week, Fitch Ratings released its sovereign outlook for the Asia-Pacific, and it said that the ratings outlook for APAC sovereigns remained stable in the second quarter of 2019, and this is supported by strong financial buffers as well as flexible, proactive policy frameworks.
They added that the balance of key risks has shifted since the start of the year, with global financial conditions easing and global growth prospects have, however, deteriorated. Now, the ratings are evenly dispersed between AAA to B among the 20 APAC sovereigns rated by Fitch.
Now, of course, all their ratings are unchanged so far in 2019, following downgrades in late last year to two of the region's frontier markets, Pakistan and Sri Lanka. All the region's sovereign credits are unstable outlook, but Fitch have also said that the downside risks for the region are mainly present through slower global growth. Economic activity weakened across the region in late last year and early this year on sharply lower exports from deteriorating global trade flows, and as long as trade tensions persist, these can weigh on sentiment and regional flows.
But that said, a more dovish Fed has created room for modest monetary policy easing in some countries. So to dive deeper into their sovereign outlook for the Asia-Pacific, BFM producer Roshan Kanesan speaks to Stephen Schwartz, head of the Asia-Pacific Sovereigns for Fitch Ratings.
So Stephen, how does Malaysia's overview compare to the rest of the Southeast Asian nations?
Malaysia compares relatively well with its regional peers. We affirm Malaysia's sovereign rating at A- with a stable outlook last February, and at that rating level, it puts Malaysia just behind the likes of China and Japan, but ahead of Thailand at BBB+, and ahead of Indonesia and the Philippines at BBB. So a pretty solid relative rating.
When it comes to Malaysia's sovereign credit rating, what are the risks going forward and what areas can be improved here?
Well, the key rating weight that prevents Malaysia from moving up the rating scale are its fiscal metrics. Compared to its similarly rated single A peers, Malaysia has a very high public debt level at around 62% of GDP, which is much higher than the 40% or so median of single A peers. The new government that took office last year scrapped the goods and services tax, and we estimate that over the medium term, on an annual basis, that'll cost about 1% of GDP in revenue because the tax that replaced it is narrower and pulls in less revenue on a net basis. So that's a gap that will need to be filled, and it makes the outlook challenging to sustain and ideally reduce the government debt burden over the medium term. The other factor I would highlight that's a relative rating weakness for Malaysia are governance standards. The World Bank governance indicators feed directly into our rating assessment, and Malaysia scores below median levels on those metrics as well.
So based on those two factors, how do we do compared to the other nations in the region here?
Well, as I mentioned at the outset, Malaysia's rating at A- puts it ahead of Thailand, Indonesia, the Philippines, India for that matter, which are all rated a little below the A- level, but it's Malaysia's rating is a little lower than China and Japan. So that just gives you a relative sense, and our ratings are an ordinal ranking. They're meant to be a relative indication of overall credit strength and credit worthiness. One of the favorable attributes that Malaysia has is it has been for many years a relatively fast-growing economy. Over the last 5 years, it's averaged growth in excess of 5% per year, which puts it ahead of many comparator countries. There are some headwinds to growth now, which is a risk factor that we'll have to watch. We expect growth around 4.5% in 2019, which is down from 4.7 last year and well above 5 back in 2016.
Okay, speaking of those headwinds, now overall for the Asia-Pacific region, What are some of the key factors and concerns that will play into the sovereign outlook going forward?
Well, most of the risk factors now for a country like Malaysia are the external environment. In our latest global economic outlook, we, as others, have flagged risks to the global economy from weakening growth, particularly in Europe, as well as China. The latest indicators are maybe the most pessimistic fears about the global economy may prove unwarranted. We've seen certainly China's growth beginning to stabilize as its stimulus measures gain traction. But growth out of Europe is still very weak, and it's been a very mixed picture when we look at production indicators around the Asia-Pacific region and exports. So Malaysia is among the countries that's very export-dependent, and we've seen exports the last few months be negative in year-over-year terms. So we'll be watching very carefully in the months ahead whether there are signs of a turnaround in the export outlook and whether that'll help feed through to higher export growth and investment in the coming quarters for Malaysia.
Yeah, you rightly point out that the mixed signals coming from various data points is causing some concern going forward. Do you see any particular currencies in Asia-Pacific that look vulnerable to changes going forward?
Well, the currency outlook has improved compared to last year. Our expectations as recently as 3 or 4 months ago was that the U.S. Fed would maintain a pretty significant tightening cycle. The Fed has now clearly indicated that it's likely to remain on pause during the remainder of the year. We don't see the Fed tightening again until the very end of this year. So that has taken some of the depreciation pressure off of emerging market currencies, including in the Asia-Pacific region, and set the stage for capital inflows to the region. So at the moment, we think the outlook for most of the Asian currencies is relatively stable, which is good for their credit metrics. When the dollar tends to appreciate against currencies, that's often a downward rating trigger because it makes the external debt burden of many countries much more challenging.
Are there any particular downside risks that you're keeping an eye on when it comes to the ratings outlook for the Asia-Pacific countries?
As it happens, across the 20 Asia-Pacific sovereigns that we rate, we currently have stable outlooks across the region. Some of that reflects the fact that we've made rating adjustments in the last year, year and a half. We used to have positive and negative outlooks on a number of credits, but we've adjusted ratings, and so they're currently stable. So we've got the external risk environment on the one hand keeping downward pressure on ratings, but at the same time, the region is still enjoying pretty positive domestic demand growth and overall growth momentum, so it's keeping ratings in a stable environment. Again, for the particular case of Malaysia, beyond GDP growth, we'll be looking very carefully at the fiscal metrics over the medium term and the government's ability to continue with fiscal consolidation and prevent its public debt burden from rising further from this point.
Stephen, you earlier mentioned that the removal of the GST has really put a burden on the Malaysian coffers here. Now, what are the implications of this going forward in the near future and beyond?
Well, what it means is that to maintain its plans for fiscal consolidation over the medium term, the government will need to look for other revenue sources to replace the gap left by removal of the GST. But from a structural point of view, in the near term, it also increases reliance on oil revenues, which can be volatile. It happens now that oil prices have risen somewhat more than we expected in the last few months, but we do expect for the year as a whole, oil prices to drift back down because of the supply-demand environment, and oil prices are notoriously volatile, so at the margin, the removal of the GST increases reliance on volatile oil revenues.
Stephen, how significant is the oil revenue contribution to Malaysia's revenue as a part of the ratings outlook?
It is a significant element. Malaysia is highly dependent on oil and commodities, and that does play a role in our rating assessment. So diversifying the revenue base away from oil and commodities over time would be positive for the credit assessment.
That was BFM producer Roshan Kanisan speaking to Stephen Schwartz, the head of Asia-Pacific Sovereigns for Fitch Ratings, talking about their report on the sovereign outlook for the Asia-Pacific. Now, it's quite interesting. Stephen highlighted a couple of things, including the impact of the GST on our economy going forward.
Yeah, this is not something which is new. Of course, this is many, many months already. But it is just indicative of the current government's very, very short timeline, because they came into power and they had a lot of things to deal with on the plate. It seems almost unfortunate that they've got to deal with fighting fires, sorting out the country's finances, and also keeping the stakeholders placated, right? And it's tough. And they don't have the luxury of time that Barisan Nasional had in over its 61 years. So it's a tough call for Mahathir and his new administration.
Yeah, I think when they came into power, they didn't expect the level of government debt to be so high.
Yeah.
But they wanted to also keep their election promises, right, the manifesto. Mm-hmm. So the easy one, or the one that they touted a lot in their campaigns, was the removal of GST. But unfortunately, with the removal of GST, we have a gap in our finances.
Yeah, and of course, the various bailouts that have been necessary to keep institutions alive, like the failed 6 billion ringgit, these have all militated to damage Malaysia's fiscal ambitions to achieve parity by 2020. Clearly, we're not going to meet that deadline anymore. And these are the things that make Fitch Ratings a little bit queasy.
Especially because the lack of, I guess, having to find some way to plug the gap left by the GST has necessitated, as Stephen pointed out, relying a lot more on oil revenues, which are, of course, classically very volatile.
Yeah, and I think we've actually honestly been lucky that oil has gone above $70.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
because
right.
Our budget assumption for 2019, we used... Was
it 45? 50?
No, 70.
70, okay.
So it doesn't give us, the government, much room to manoeuvre, actually, in terms of fiscal spending.
Yeah.
What worries me a little bit is that we have recently announced a lot of mega projects. And how are they going to balance that? How are they going to pay for that is the next question.
All right. And we're going to come back with more discussions after this. But first, we have the 7:30 news. So stay tuned for that, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.